Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
All right, welcome to another edition of the Illinois Family Spotlight podcast. Today, I am joined by John Biber and by Lori Higgins, and we're going to talk today about some of the things that are going on with the transgender agenda or in ideology in our public schools here in Illinois, as well as in Delaware, something that's happening in Ohio, and then something that's happening with high school sports teams. So we're going to start right away because, Lori, you just wrote an article titled, Wait Till You See What the LGBTQQAPWTH Activists Have Planned for Illinois Schools. Lori, tell us, what do they have planned for our kids?
Heather Staines and Anna Moeller have sponsored a bill in the State Senate and House, respectively, that would amend our school code. It's being called the Inclusive Curriculum Bill, and it requires teaching the roles and contributions of homosexuals and transgenders. I'm using that language. We mean men and women who impersonate the opposite sex at every level in our public schools, from kindergarten through 12th grade. It says that in general.
Say that again. Kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not just high schoolers. This starts in kindergarten.
Right. Which, by the way, doesn't make it any better if it were at high school. It makes it that much worse that it's starting at kindergarten. And by the way, there is a kind of a similar bill. It was passed into law in California a few years ago. But in California, it applies to grades 6 through 12 and only in social studies classes. My reading of the bill that's proposed here in Illinois is it is not just for, there's a special mention of history classes, but prior to that in the bill, it just refers to classes in general. So it seems like it's going to be integrated into everything. And it specifically refers to texts and text substitutes. So it's really every kind of resource that
supplementals that the teacher may bring into the classroom.
Exactly. And because when people hear textbook, they think of, you know, the big hardback textbooks that you buy. And so they might think, oh, well, it's just going to be in there because conservatives are accustomed to, practiced at saying, well, dismissing things. Well, it's just a textbook. Well, it's just a passage in a novel. Well, it's just that one film. And so, but it's pretty, they define textbook or text in the law, and it's really pretty much anything.
Okay, so one of the things I want to go back to real quick is why I emphasize the kindergarten through 12th grade and pointed out, you know, they're not just isolating to the high school level is because the normalization is starting at 5 and 6 years old. And in theory, right, Lori? I mean, if they get all 12 years of you to normalize this aberrant behavior, well, they're going to be pretty successful, wouldn't you think?
Right. It's actually more like 13 years from kindergarten through 12th grade. That's actually 13 of the most formative years.
Right.
And so, yes, it's much easier to transform the heart and mind of a 12-year-old than a 16-year-old, and even more so a 5-year-old. And add that to, they're going to be having co-ed restrooms and locker rooms from these ages and teaching kids that if they don't want to share these spaces, private spaces with opposite sex persons, they're ignorant, they're bigoted, they're hateful, and they're non-inclusive.
Right. Lori, I heard most of everything you've said except the very beginning when you were talking about the legislation. What is the purpose of the legislation?
Well, the purpose, you mean what they say the purpose is?
Yes, in a nutshell.
The purpose is to include the roles and contributions of homosexuals and transgenders throughout history, but it's not limited because the bill articulates all the different areas where they've made contributions. Economics, education,
science.
I mean, art, everything. So in addition, the bill specifically says it also, we have to include the roles and contributions of LGBT activists and their allies. In other words, what they want to do is to have this treated as the civil rights movement is treated.
All right. Now, in your article here, you have the LGBTQQAP. And of course, we all know the list goes on. They're not going to discriminate against those other letters, are they?
Well, yes, but what you're getting at is all the paraphilias, all
or
the other
whatever. Kinds. I mean, but even right. The questioning and queer. I mean, are we going to start? Are they included in their contributions? Are they going to be taught?
Well, I think it would be difficult to talk about those who were questioning because that's a relatively new term. So I don't know how they would go through that. And by the way, I included those letters. So they've just said in the bill, they probably say LGBT. So that's what the bill says.
Okay. So the listeners need to know that this is Senate Bill 3249, and that's sponsored by State Senator Heather Steens from Chicago, a Democrat from Chicago. And then in the House Bill 5596 by State Representative Anna Moeller, and she's a Democrat from Elgin. I want to go back to what you were saying, though, Lori, about the fact that transgenders now will have access to bathrooms, and we have co-ed bathrooms and locker rooms. And it occurs to me that, look, if we normalize this in kindergarten, by the time these young people get to high school, there won't be as big of a backlash to it, you know?
Right, exactly. Well, actually, what's interesting now is I've heard numbers of parents say about high school restrooms and locker rooms that kids don't care. Already they don't care. One thing about adolescents is they're rebellious. So if they think their parents care about co-ed restrooms and locker rooms, they're going to say, well, I don't care about it. In addition, you have kids who are being raised by liberal parents who are teaching them to be compassionate. They have to share restrooms with opposite sex persons. Third, conservative kids who actually don't want to share restrooms and locker rooms with opposite sex persons don't want to say anything because they don't want to be accused of being narrow-minded, bigoted, provincial, hateful.
And these are the kids who will do everything they can to avoid those kind of conflicts, having to dress in a locker room with a transgender or go to the washroom with a transgender, right?
Which, to be precise, when we're talking about the term transgender, we're talking about people who have a biological sex but are pretending to be the opposite sex.
That's exactly right.
Yes, they don't want to share private spaces, and most people don't want to. Most adult men, most teenage boys, same for women, don't want to share restrooms, even separate stalls. You mentioned in our conversation before this taping started, the Walgreens policy, which was an interesting story because it undermined the leftist propositions about these policies. So it was a young woman who is a very butch looking lesbian who asked to use the women's restroom in Walgreens, but they assumed by looking at her that she was male and said she had to use the male restroom because they base it on people's appearance. And she talked about having to go into the men's restroom. She used a stall and how, I forget the terms she used, maybe you have it in front of you, uncomfortable. And
right.
And there was a second adjective, but how uncomfortable she felt with men urinating at a urinal and her being in a stall. And yeah. So, and the left keeps telling us, and so Walgreens now has changed their entire policy to make this experience of discomfort universal for everybody because all their restrooms will be, in effect, co-ed.
All right, so Lori, tell us a little bit about the organizations who are pushing or sponsoring this legislation. We've got Equality Illinois and the Illinois Safe School Alliance. Sounds like a pretty good group.
Yes. They're not only, you know, sort of behind this, it's their own creation. And they say that quite boldly and openly and proudly on Equality Illinois' website. I haven't been to Illinois Safe Schools Alliance yet. Illinois Safe Schools Alliance is, like Equality Illinois, a homosexual transgender activist organization. Illinois Safe Schools Alliance split off from the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network, GLSEN, some of our listeners might know GLSEN, some years ago. It used to be part of that, and then okay. they split off. And of course, the whole purpose of GLSEN and the Illinois Safe Schools Alliance is to use public schools, taxpayer-funded schools, supported by diverse taxpayers, use those schools to advance their sexuality ideology.
You know, this is the same group, Illinois Safe Schools Alliance, who pushed the comprehensive sex ed in Illinois a few years ago, I think it was 2013, to mandate that if the school is teaching sex ed, they have to teach the how-tos of safe, so-called safe sex, starting in sixth grade.
Well, yes, and that bill was problematic for a number of reasons. The bill's sponsors said it was needed to solve the two problems of high rates of unintended pregnancies and STDs or STIs. And then they presented literally zero research proving that comprehensive sex ed will do that or will do it better than abstinence-based curricula. And no lawmakers demanded any research be proven or be presented to prove that this will achieve those solutions.
That's right. All right. So let me tell you the bill numbers again. Senate Bill 3249 and House Bill 5596. Want to encourage our listeners to reach out to your state senator, to your state's representative, and ask them to vote against this legislation. The Springfield switchboard number is 217-782-2000. You can call there, ask for your state representative, ask for your state senator, ask them to vote against this LGBT curriculum push.
May I say one other thing about it?
Yes, please.
If it's passed, and of course, as I write in the article, if this makes it to no social agenda Rauner's desk, it'll probably be signed, or I would say, I mean, he's a huge supporter of Equality Illinois. Right. Just attended a fundraiser and donated $15,000 to them a few weeks ago. The bill will take effect, it's supposed to take effect July 2019. So parents have a year to find another place to school their kids.
That's right, exactly. So before we wrap up this segment, we got to give credit to Donald Trump. Donald Trump just announced that they are going to redirect money to abstinence training instead of comprehensive sex ed. So Planned Parenthood is taking a financial hit, and great groups around the state, around the country, I should say, are now going to be able to avail themselves to these, I think it's Title IX funds, to be able to teach abstinence to high schoolers. So that's good news.
Since you brought up Planned Parenthood, may I make one other point about Planned Parenthood? They have started now, I think they've taken a financial hit in a number of different areas, and so they have now started to provide cross-sex hormones to teenagers. So they're moving into the whole trans-affirmative protocol in order to enhance their coffers.
Well, whatever they can do to stop procreation and the creation of new human beings. Anyway, all right. Thank you, listeners, for listening to this first half. We're going to stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Do you know that the time your children spend in school for 1 year is as much time as they will spend in church in over 5 years? Why would we want our children to be in a school that denies God and His truth? Christian Liberty Academy was founded in 1968 to provide a place that would affirm and strengthen what our children learn at home and in their churches. We have a great location in Arlington Heights, outstanding faculty and facilities, a strong biblical worldview emphasis, and an affordable tuition price compared to similar schools. We provide a comprehensive and accredited curriculum that will prepare your child for college and beyond. From preschool all the way through 12th grade, discover the positive difference that Christian Liberty Academy can make in their education and life. Schedule a personal tour today and get more information at ChristianLibertyAcademy.com or call 847-385-2013.
This is Michael Medved for townhall.com. When I was a kid, my late mother used to urge her four boys to consume whatever unappetizing vegetables we left on our plates by reminding us that there are starving kids in India. Well, I recall those long ago arguments when watching a well-intentioned but illogical anti-gun video that's gone viral to millions. In it, New Yorker Scott Pappalardo reacts to Parkland by cutting his AR-15 in half with a power saw. "I'm going to make sure this gun is never going to take someone's life," he says to the camera. But destroying weapons owned by sane, responsible citizens does nothing to stop evil maniacs from using their weapons for mayhem. Dismantling America's nukes wouldn't magically solve the threat from North Korea. With 10 million AR-15s in private hands, destroying a single gun not only provides no solution, but utterly misdefines the problem and won't feed starving kids either. I'm Michael Medved.
Welcome back to Illinois Family Spotlight. We're glad you're here. I've got some of the best hitters on our team here at Illinois Family Action. I've got John Biver sitting here to my right, and we've got Lori Higgins on the internet joining us for this podcast recording. And if you were not disturbed enough about the proposal, right, by Equality Illinois and the Illinois Safe School Alliance for Chicago Public Schools, K through 12.
Wait, Chicago Public Schools, our Illinois schools.
Right, not Chicago, the whole state of Illinois. This would affect everywhere from Cairo all the way up to Lena. So, but we've got a very, very disturbing situation in Delaware where they have a proposal to do what, Lori?
Well, it's Regulation 225. It would amend their existing school code to say that students may self-identify, that's the language of the bill, their race or gender identity at school, and there will be no requirement that parents be notified if the child communicates to the school that their parent would be not supportive.
Wow. So this is a little boy who's hearing all this great talk about transgenderism is now able to self-identify as a female?
As a female at school, and the parents
school
admitted, do not have
and school officials don't have to tell mom and dad.
They do not, if they feel that the child's, if the parents will be deemed unsupportive, and then it goes on to say, if the child's health, well-being, and I think there was a third adjective, would be affected, not an adjective, a noun. If those things would be affected, then there is no obligation on the school to notify the parents. So they're really usurping parental rights. It is big government and big brother, and it is very troubling. And the idea, you know, we remember Rachel Dolezal, the woman who had identified as black for years and is not, she's as white as any of the three of us. And you even heard at the time, I think it was Whoopi Goldberg came out and said, hey, if that's what she identifies as, which is just bizarre. I mean, I don't know how they can go on about conservatives being science denying this whole idea that you can self-identify your, of course, I mean, then why can't I self-identify my race? Why can't I change?
Well, that's my question. Is this bill just really limited to two sexes?
Well, yes, I didn't think about that. Although,
is
yes.
Is it non-binary and fluid and whatever else?
Right, exactly. I'm sure if you can identify as the opposite sex, you can identify as gender non-binary or gender fluid. I'm sure that's included in there, which of course is an issue that the public schools have not addressed. As they're letting these, excuse me, boys and girls use opposite sex private facilities, I have not heard a single school board or administrator have to answer the question, what about the students who are gender fluid? What are we going to do with them about the private spaces?
Can we put something in brackets? I'm driving down the road listening to this podcast and I'm thinking, this is crazy. This is not going to happen. How do you talk to somebody like me? Because that's actually how I feel. I mean, this is nuts. Our schools and our society isn't that stupid yet.
We're screwed up.
Right, Laurie?
No, it's cowardice. I mean, it's completely cowardice. I don't believe that.
But to John's point, you know, the reason why we want to bring it up in this podcast is because this is on the table in Delaware on the General Assembly floor. This is going to make its way to Illinois, just like the California craziness has made its way to Illinois. This is very real. This is ridiculous. And I hope and pray that common sense parents who love their kids are getting the heck out of Dodge and homeschooling or private schooling.
Well, yes, I do want to say this, and we've talked about this before. We have to do something to make, you know, schooling alternatives available, because there's a lot of parents where there is one wage earner in the family. Maybe there's only one parent. Maybe the other parent is ill or unwell in some way, and they have neither the finances to go to pay for private schools, which are very cost prohibitive, and they have to go to work. So churches must start looking at this education of children as a mission field and may either create affordable schools or make funds available to their members if they want to take their kids out of public
school. And I think your point about a mission field is vital. And we hope that church leaders and pastors would take that to heart, because while we definitely need to get the gospel message around the world, in different parts of the world, right here at home, our children are being led astray and away into darkness. There's snares all over the place set for them in the government schools. And so we need to protect them and equip them so they can do the work when they're adults.
Exactly. If we lose kids on these sexuality matters, whether it's the whole trans ideology or the homosexuality, if we lose them on this, we lose them as Christians, because they will have to reject scripture. They will have to adopt this sort of gay theology embracing churches, or they will come into theologically orthodox churches and try to change them to make them apostate.
And boy, do we see that happening with mainline churches all over. You just recently wrote a story, an article about the Evangelical Covenant Church and how they're having struggles there maintaining a sound doctrine.
Right, exactly. And I know at their annual conferences that the group that is trying to move them away from theological orthodoxy is growing in numbers, and they are persistent and they persevere. And conservatives, when they have a battle, whether it's at their school or in their church, they feel battle-weary and defeated after one skirmish. Even if they're successful, there's like, oh, I'm done. And the left never ceases.
One point, too, that I want to make about the sexually rebellious, those who have lived sexual outside the model that God has provided, there is a hope, right? There is forgiveness. And we have seen many people turn around their lives from living these sexually chaotic lives and turned around and be changed. In fact, Lori, you wrote an article titled, if I remember correctly, What the Church Has to Offer to the Homosexual Community.
Oh, so right.
There is hope.
That was many years ago. Maybe we should republish that. But yes, of course, this is not an unforgivable sin. You know, the left keeps saying, you know, people like me are hateful and express hateful ideas. But you can't know what a hateful word or deed is unless you first know what is true. If what the Bible says is true about homosexuality and the whole transgender movement, which of course you don't have to approach it just through scripture, because God's truth is accessible through reason and logic and science and all sorts of ways. But if that's true, what God has, you know, expressed to us in scripture, then it is not loving to affirm kids in their gender confusion. It's not loving to affirm people's same-sex attraction, which I firmly believe is unchosen. But humans have all sorts of, you know, disordered impulses, desires, attractions, feelings. The task we have as moral beings is to figure out which of those unchosen, powerful, persistent feelings are morally legitimate to act upon. Right. And the church has to help people.
Well said, well said. That brings me to the next thing that I wanted to bring up. And that is this case. I don't know the young man's name, but he is confused about his gender, and he has joined the female wrestling team, and he is taking all kinds of hormones.
Correction.
Okay.
And this was the confusion I had too. It's actually a girl.
Okay.
And her name now is Mac, M-A-C-K. I was corrected last night by Matt Barber because I thought it was, and she, in Texas, so she is now identifying as, she's a biological female, identifying as a male, taking cross-sex hormones and some steroids, and is, because Texas law requires you to participate in sports on the team that corresponds to your biological sex. As opposed in Illinois, you can participate in the opposite sex teams. In Texas, you can't, which is great, except for she's taking male hormones. So now that's why
all this would disqualify her otherwise.
Right. So she has now won for the second year in a row the state wrestling tournament in the 110-pound category, and she beat the same girl 2 years in a row. So you know that poor other girl, if she had just been this age a few years ago, she would have won the state tournament because she wouldn't have to compete against a girl taking male hormones. And so that's where we are. And you know, Mark Stein was on with Tucker Carlson last night, had a lot of good things to say, one of which was, if people decide now to take, because we have other, you know, like when they're allowed to participate, let's say in the Olympics on the opposite sex teams, then they have to do all these, blood tests to determine their hormone level. And so it's created a mess. It's certainly created a mess for women's sports, which Title IX, which they're using, the left is to promote all this. Title IX was created in large measure to increase athletic opportunities for girls, and now it's destroying them because the trans community is coming in and using that to force themselves into opposite sex sports. But what Mark Stein said was, you know what really needs to happen with those who choose to identify as the opposite sex? They need to forego athletics. Because either way, if she had been on the male team, that would have been problematic. If she's on the female team, it's problematic. They need to just, and that's the reality. This is a mess of their own creation. And so they should, and here's the other interesting thing, which I think is really important. And I've been trying to say it, but I don't have a microphone the size of Mark Stein's. Right. He said this eradication of recognition of sex differences is a huge deal. And what I have said is, this is a revolution the likes of which the world has never seen, where you have entire ostensibly sane societies that respect science saying, yes, a man can be born in a woman's body, whatever that means, and we're not going to recognize sex differences even in private spaces. This is profound, and conservatives are not getting the profundity of this revolution.
No, and you know what? I wasn't going to bring this up, but now that you mentioned what you just said, you know, we have the ERA pending still here in Illinois, and they are not stopping. They are going to continue to work on this. In fact, last year, their main focus was House Bill 40, which is taxpayer funding of abortion. They say this year, this is the feminists, the pink hat nasty women, right? This is their main focus, is to pass the ERA. And one of the central points of the ERA is the elimination of gender distinctions. Right. And this will, if this is passed, right, this will exacerbate the problem that you're identifying, Lori.
Exactly. There's two primary groups that want the ERA passed. It's feminists who don't want any restrictions on abortion, and they're going to use it to defend that, to protect that. And then the trans community, because the ERA literally says nothing about women. This is not about women. Women are not deprived of any civil rights.
That's right. And
so this is what the left is going to, they're why they're going to be behind this.
No, the 14th Amendment of the United States Constitution guarantees equal protection under the law. So there's not a guarantee of equal treatment under the law.
Right.
So anyway, with that said, we're going to have to wrap up there, but we've got a couple of call to actions for you. The bill that would mandate LGBTQIA teach history lessons in our government schools throughout Illinois.
Not just history. Yep. That's specifically mentioned, but if you read the bill, before it mentions history, it just talks about curricula.
So celebrating LGBT in our public schools, our government schools. Senate Bill 3249, House Bill 5596. Call your state representative and your state senator about that. And while you're on the phone, also ask them to please vote against the ERA. The phone number to the state capitol is 217-782-2000. I'm going to give that again. 217-782-2000. Call them and ask them to vote no to all of this nonsense. All right, our time is up, so I'm going to say thank you to John Biber and to Lori Higgins, and I'm going to have you guys back on, and we're going to talk about the upcoming elections. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.